My name's Peter. I work for Arm, and I've been sort of tangentially involved in the pointer authentication ABI, mostly by deans of being the author of the specification. Disclaimer, I've written absolutely none of the code. So, so at this particular point, I'm presenting mostly other people's work here. So first of all, what I'd like to do is quickly explain what pointer authentication is. I'm not sure everyone will know what that is, and then I'll go on for why I'm talking about this. Okay. So just in a nutshell, in its very, very simplest forms, you've got two basic operations, the first of which is sign. And sign will take you a raw pointer, a secret key that's sort of known to the hardware, and a local discriminator that's sort of normally derived from something local to a particular function. And the instructions that you'll see in assembler here are start with pack for pointer authentication code. It'd be nice if they started with sign, but unfortunately it's pack. Then there's the reverse operation of that, which is auth, short for authenticate, obviously. And that takes a sign pointer and turns it back into a raw pointer, and it uses the same key and the same discriminator that was used when you signed your pointer. And then you have the aut instructions that are basically the mirror image of the previous ones at that point. Okay, so how does this work in hardware? Well, okay, sorry, I've just mentioned there, key is shared secret, discriminator is local, and the tricky bit about the pointer authentication ABI is that you've got to choose which pointers to sign, you've got to choose what key to use, and you've got to choose what discriminator to use for every particular pointer in the program. And everyone who's signing and everyone who's authenticating has to agree on what those are. And every time you change it, it's an ABI break. So it's one of those things where there are deployment challenges with this, to say the least. Okay. Yeah. And there's another form of kind of what you would call ABI clean, or at least ABI neutral form of pointer authentication that you might use already on an AX64 system. That's branch protection equals standard, which is where we use pointer authentication to protect the return address, whereas pointer authentication ABI goes a lot further than that. Okay. So how does this work in hardware? Well, what we're basically exploiting is that no one yet has got 64 bits of virtual address addressable memory. So some of the spare values at the top of the pointer are available for extra metadata. And what we do is we use some of that to store the pointer authentication code. So when we do one of these pack instructions, we take the key and then two registers. One of them contains the pointer that we want to sign, and another one that takes the modifier. And then we put the result of that calculation into the top bits at that particular point. Okay. Right. So why am I actually talking about this? So pointer authentication ABI is not new. It's currently restricted at the moment in terms of use of pack to the branch protection equals standard. And that's, as I've mentioned before, optimized for being as deployable as widely as possible, and it will work on all ARM machines because it's implemented in the hint space. Now, the PAuth ABI has existed as a specification for about 5 years. This is all derived from Apple's ARM64E ABI, so that was the genesis of this, and Apple have done a lot of the hard work for this, and you'll be able to find a lot more information on Apple platforms for the ARM64E. I'm talking specifically here about the ELF implementation of that, which is sort of more deployable on potentially Linux, potentially other systems that use ELF. Okay. Now, the pointer authentication ABI extends pointer authentication to all code pointers. But the downside of that is that you need hardware that supports it, which is ARMv8.3a, and it's likely an ABI break if you've already got an existing system. Okay, so the spec's been around for about 5 years. There's been a group diligently, from Access Softech, a company, have been diligently working away on an ELF implementation for, I don't know, probably the last 3 years or so, maybe two, and Upstream LLVM has finally got an implementation for testing. It's not an official, official target as yet, because there's not a sort of fully defined ABI, but it's certainly now something you can try out with Upstream LLVM. So I'm just basically talking about it here to raise a bit of awareness of it, of what it might be able to do. Because we're also kind of in a chicken and egg problem. Until somebody implements it, no one can try it, and no one's going to bother implementing it until somebody wants to use it. Okay. And I'm talking about embedded systems particularly. That's mostly because that's where my background is, but also bare metal doesn't have as many ABI continuity problems. You might be able to just have a completely separate system, target that and go, rather than trying to, say, force it into a Linux distribution. Okay. And yeah, I would like to see Pointer Authentication ABI to have an official ELF target that anyone can use to build a system. Okay. So yes, this is just an example code to show how things will go. So you can imagine we've got a C++ V table. So V tables are tables of code pointers, for example. V table is an interesting case because there's actually a V table pointer itself, and that is, strictly speaking, a data pointer. But the Pointer Authentication ABI thinks this is important enough to protect anyway. So we take this. So what this thing's actually going to do is going to load the V table for B. It's going to load the address of the function from the V table, and then it's going to indirectly call it. So when we look at the generated code from this, we see the use of the pointer authentication instructions. So we've got the first one, pack IBSP, which is kind of a shorthand instruction for protecting the return address using the stack pointer as modifier. And you'll see that matched at the bottom with the retab, which is kind of a combined return and authenticate at this point. So the other instruction you can see there is AltDA, which is is authenticating the VTable pointer. So that's already been signed when the class was created. And then there's this BLRAA, which is a combined branch and authenticate at that particular point. So at this point, you don't see any of the signing. But above those orange instructions, you can see the MOVKs. That's the blending of the discriminator, a 16-bit value, into the address to form the modifier. This particular point. Okay. So what actually exists in upstream LLVM today? So we have an experimental target called PAuth test, which you can use with the Linux OS at the moment. I think it's restricted to Linux. If you try it with something else, it probably won't work. But yes, target equals AR64 Linux PAuth test to get some example code generation going. And as no one's committed to an ABI yet, it's currently for testing purposes. So it's been deployed so that we can write tests and upstream LLVM to it. There's also a header file called pointerauth.h, and that's where you can manually control how pointers are signed with things like the pointerauth qualifier. And that's recommended for things like C function pointers, because C lets you do all sorts of stuff with function pointers that limits what sort of modifier and address diversity can be done with it. But if you're manually doing it yourself, you can put more protection on it than the basic one. Okay. And of course, the killer at the moment is you need compatible runtime libraries and you need a dynamic linker to support it. So why do you need dynamic linker support? It turns out this is because quite a lot of pointers are statically initialized, and because the key's only known at runtime, the static linker can't sign any pointers beforehand, so it has to be signed when the program loads up. And to do that, we've extended some of the dynamic relocations so that when they do the relocation calculation, they do an immediate sign afterwards. Of course, the dynamic linker needs to know how the signing's done, and what happens is the signing schema is sort of embedded in the location that you're relocating. So the dynamic linker will pick that up, read it, which tells it all the instructions it needs to do. Okay. So if you want to try this out today in Linux user space, the team at SS Softech have provided some build scripts where you can build a muscle-based Linux, statically linked Linux toolchain. So there's a Docker container that you can run that will build you a toolchain. It produces a squashfs file system that you can mount, and then from that you can run the programs produced on QEMU user mode, or if you're lucky enough to have an 8.3, say for example you're running Linux on a Mac via some kind of virtualization or whatever, then you can run it directly on that at that point. So that's the easiest way to try this out today. Building the toolchain isn't too much of a problem. Okay. So what do what my part in this, I guess, is trying to see, can we run this on bare metal? Okay. See, as I mentioned before, hardware requirements are less of a problem at that point. So what we need to do, build ourselves an embedded tool chain, use QEMU to check everything's running. So what's on my shopping list at the moment? So first of all, I've got to add PAuth test support to the bare metal driver because it's currently fixed to Linux. I've got to compile all my runtime libraries. I've got to get some support code to actually turn the pointer authentication on. I've got to get a linker script that's going to get the dynamic relocations and put them in a location where I know where they are so I can go and resolve them. And then I've actually got to write the resolver to go and do that. Okay. And then I've got to make sure that the the linker can go and pick up the things there. Okay. So what I've done here is I've made a fork of LLVM which builds all of this from LLVM components, and I've put the link in the references if anyone's interested in trying it out. So what was my experience? So adding the bare metal target didn't take very long. It was just basically cut and pasting code from the Linux driver. LLVM libc had some assembly that changed. I won't go into too much of the details there, but it's essentially down to that inline assembly is doing direct branches, but when you access things with the pointer authentication ABI, it wants it done indirectly via a register, so you need to change the constraints and the instruction used. And that bit of linker script there is just going to define some symbols, relayed in start, relayed in end. I chose those names so that I can find them later on. This is how you would do the dynamic relocations. What I've got there is the things that are in Cyan there are just where the signing schema is encoded. For example, it would be like if address diversity and discriminator, then take the current location of the relocation, blend the 16 bits of the discriminator into that value, then sign with the key that's in that particular bit. So it's not particularly complicated. Okay. So my last slide here. Besides the references, what are the next steps of PAuth ABI? So yeah, the support is currently a chicken in the egg at the moment. So the team at Access Softech are doing this for a downstream platform. So this is not something that's easily available to use. But to get upstream support, we need at least one platform of something real to actually use it. I think that it's likely that the number of possible signing schemas will coalesce into a small number of variants, maybe say 3, and at that point there's a chance to get this in as a proper fully supported target, and then anyone can build a tool chain from there. Okay, so just some last references here. The one thing I would say is if you are interested in this at all, the first one there, the Clang documentation on pointer authentication, is very good, because it also goes through some of the caveats that you need to do to avoid things like signing oracles and how to really protect your system. So it's a very, very good document, fully recommend that. And there was a talk last year at the LLVM dev meeting, it's now 2 years ago, we're in 2016 now, from Access Softech. That's also worth watching. So that's all I had for you today. There may be maybe some time for questions, or I may have overrun 2 minutes. I could probably take a couple of questions, but if not, find me outside.
Yes. Can you go a bit more into detail, like how the PAuth ABI and ARM64E differ, and
okay,
like what are the differences on the platforms in, for example, the keys to be used for the different signing operations?
Right. Okay. So I don't know precise details. Obviously, the object file format's very different. So there's Mac at one point, ELF on the other. I believe there may be also differences in some of the relocations that get used. I believe the signing schema was picked to be as close as possible, just to, in other words, you don't have if this, do this, all in the LLVM dev room, so no needless differentiation. There are things like, is the GOT signed, or access to the GOT, because if you've got relocation read-only, you don't need to sign the GOT, but if your platform doesn't have that, you do. So it's mostly a whole bunch of toggleable things, and so yeah, I'd say it's very similar at that point, but I couldn't give you the details, sorry.
Okay.
Yes?
You mentioned that the instructions take the shared secrets.
Yeah.
But where does the secret come from?
It's hardware, yeah, so there are various keys for various exception levels, so user space is one exception level, there'll be a kernel level, exception level, and each of them have got keys that can be set by the exception level higher.
And you make them explicitly through specific instructions? Or?
I think it's just standard set hardware register, that type of thing, but yeah. Okay. So I guess if there's no more questions, it's probably best to hand over to the next... one more at the back.
Is this used in the macOS user space or kernel space or another?
I don't know the full details. I think at the moment it's used by kernel space behind the scenes. There is at least some documentation of how to use it in user space, but I don't know how widely it is. I'm unfortunately not very familiar with macOS at that point. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.